Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick, Holmes and Hops. I am at Youngstown Studios today, and I'm with Greg Snyder with Birdfish, and I'm with Ralph with a Wow. And honestly, I introduce you so often as Mr. Ralph. Yeah. I have no idea what your last name is, and I've known you for how long now?
I'm in that category with like Batman and Superman. Like they don't have last
or
names.
Or Cher.
Yeah. Right. Right. So we'll just keep it like that. I worked at a hospital, so our confidentiality policy didn't allow us to have last names.
Oh, is that
thrown
true?
Out there. So honest to God. So it was always Mr. Ralph. So we're just going to keep it at that. I don't want anybody showing up at my doorstep.
Oh,
it's just going to be Mr. Ralph. Mr. First name, Ralph last name.
You would not last as a real estate agent.
That's why I'm working at a children's museum.
Real estate agents, we throw our names out there. We throw our phone numbers out there.
Yeah.
People be like, oh, I got somebody's number. And it's like, yeah, she's a real estate agent. You really didn't accomplish anything.
That's not cool.
So how are you guys today?
Better.
Good.
Yes, Greg. We already cracked open one before we even began. Greg, did you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So this is a Typo Positive. So it's a kettle sour that we brew down at the brewery, and it's got a blackberry and a lime in it. So
it's delicious. Now, would this be considered a sour? Because it's not very like.
Yeah, it's not. It's a kettle sour. So, you know, playing with the pH and that kind of dictates on target of sourness and the amount of the bacteria that we throw in there that kind of ferments and sours the beer.
Here's what I'm going to segue.
He's so talking all the science. Yeah. I'm like, how are you not a brewer?
Well, and I'm thinking in my head now. Like
he more science.
No. But he did throw a term out there that we always reference, like pH. So you know what pH stands for.
Right.
Potential for hydrogen.
Oh.
Right. And when you're talking about acids and bases, he's literally leading you down the path of why this sour is as sour as it is because of the acidity.
Oh. So there's pH in our water too, isn't there?
Absolutely. But if you have too much, you might want to move.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you might grow a third ear or hair on your face.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
But you'd be able to hear better.
I mean, people talk about how we evolve and always change. Maybe the next step will be a third ear.
Some of us are devolving. Right. Like my hairline's going back. Like that's even a word, is devolve.
Devolve?
Devolve, yeah.
We'll make it a word.
Okay. Like right? Wildtastic. I'm trying to get that one in a dictionary too.
Well, you guys did a really good job with edutainment.
Right?
I love that. Who came up with edutainment?
I think it was a team effort. I'd like to think that most everything that comes to fruition at Oh Wow is a team effort. Or, you know, we've got wonderful people in the Valley that throw stuff out there and we kind of modify it and, you know, sort of put a little twist on it. But I think it was a team effort, community effort, we'll say.
So let's talk a little bit about the connection, because Greg already started talking about like the whole science pH balance and blah, blah, blah of like brewing, which I'll never understand. This is why I'm one that is a consumer that enjoys the fruits of your labor.
Right.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Oh Wow. And that connection that you have with science and everything and connecting the two together. Then, of course, we have our Science of Brewing coming up August 6th.
Click, click. Right? How many times do we have to click?
It's like a lot.
Yeah, right.
A lot.
I think per Suzanne.
So if
it was
I'm
100.
Like, if I'm Andy Cohen at home, I'd be like, every time you hear August 6th, Science of Brewing.
Yeah, if you don't show up,
enjoy a sip of your beverage.
Or drink every time you hear August 6th. Boom. You might get through that six pack real quick.
There we go.
August 6th. Yeah. No, it's great. I guess, Greg, you can go. Again, you said you've been doing this way longer than us being 10 years at Oh Wow. We've always had the Science of Brewing event at Oh Wow. And when we first started, it was really neat because we invited brewers in to actually brew inside the museum, which was really cool because if you never had an opportunity to see the actual process, it was quite amazing. Very lovely people that did some very lovely things and brewed some really awesome beers, right? But then, you know, things change and lugging all that equipment in and out of it's rough. So we kind of made it more simple and just said, bring your stuff to us.
Now, see, when he was saying that, I was like, maybe next year we can have you. Greg's like,
no, I think, but like Ralph said, like seeing it is, you know, to really, and it hands on, you know,
yep.
you go to some of these brewery tours that are, you know, these big massive breweries and. Yeah, it's cool to see all the shiny stainless and, you know, all the vats and everything like that. But somebody that has never been around it, especially the hands-on of brewing, you know, because we were home brewers to start. And then we opened our up top location with a one barrel system, brewing 31 gallons at a time. So all that is hands-on. So, you know, for somebody to come in and be able to see the process on a one barrel, you know, they can be like, oh man, yeah, okay. Cause you're hands-on with everything. And then bring, you know, somebody in on a seven barrel that's yep. never seen the process, even our size with the seven barrel, you could still kind of show them the process quite easily because it's not, you know, just press this button here and everything happens. So you still got some hands-on down on the seven barrel, but yeah, just like going through the process. And it's, you know, some places we've gone where you get a home brewer, for instance, mm-hmm. to bring in their setup and, you know, kind of brew during the day, and people could come up during the different processes of brewing and ask questions and kind of see the process from start to finish. So
I think that would be cool. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if I'm Corning, mm-hmm. the glassware, they have mm-hmm. their museum. Yeah. They do have the little shows or whatever where you can go in and see them do the glass work. Right. And then you think of Hershey Park and like how you get to go through.
Right.
And now, of course, I'm thinking, how do we have an adult amusement park that is based on brewing beer?
Listen, so we have the home, right? Oh, and there's your two words, right? Hands-on.
Right.
So we have a museum that literally encompasses that whole hands-on philosophy.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that at some point down the road, we can't convert one of those floors into a adult.
That would be phenomenal.
You're right. Now that, you know, we'd have to get the passing through the board, but it was not a bad idea, right? I mean, I wanted to have that space reserved for like a, you know, charter school, but.
Well, I mean, there's still education involved in
absolutely.
That, isn't there?
No, I, and again, we had talked earlier before we got on, and I said, you know, you have to walk through life with a little bit of humor.
Right.
In all seriousness, I think the partnership that we've had with all of the local brewers and just, oh, wow, surrounding itself with wonderful people is allowed people to become even better at what they do. And I think that's the family, that's the valley, that's the community, oh, yeah. and that's what it's all about. Yeah. So
let's talk about OWOW for a while. You said you've been there for 10 years.
Going on 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How long has OWOW been in existence?
So OWOW celebrated its 10th birthday. We'll be 11, but OWOW is Children's Museum of the Valley.
Yes.
Prior to that, and it was started by some wonderful people that decided they needed some wonderful educational spots for children in this area and started the Children's Museum of the Valley. Well, it became so popular that they needed to find a home. And the Macquarie Building became the home for what OWOW is and everybody knows now. Obviously, COVID gave us a little hiccup and, you know, with a hiccup comes a burp. And then once that burp goes, we'll speak science. The carbon dioxide leaves. You empty some space. We had new space to work with and we gave the place a facelift and made it hopefully a little more wildtastic than it was prior to COVID.
I mean, while you're right, COVID and the pandemic was definitely an impact, it was also a bonus because you could have contractors in there to be able to speed up the process, to finalize the new exhibits, expand your space at the same time. While before, if you were open at the same time, it would have been much more of a dance.
Yeah. We really knocked out two trees with one axe. And just for the viewers or the listeners out there, something was unprecedented that happened with this facelift that OWOW took. And the architects that we had hired were from Massachusetts. So they designed and helped build this museum digitally.
Oh.
Not one time did one of their architects step into our building. They had a facilitator named Bruce, who was a local architect that took all of the verbiage, translated it, and was a local architect that was here in town, but not one of their architects from Massachusetts and Cambridge 7 stepped into our museum until our grand opening.
Oh, wow.
So how about that?
I love every time I say, oh, wow.
You think about it now, don't you? Yeah. Now, you want to meet the person. Right. And that credit goes to some wonderful people that said, you know, let's come up with a name that's just going to stick, right? And it does. Count how many times you say, oh, wow, and then just, you know.
I feel like I say it even more often now.
Right.
It's like one of those things that it's replaced awesome for me, which is good because I clearly said that way too much. But I do. I find myself always going, oh, wow. Yeah. And then if I'm ever around you or Suzanne, the director of OWOW, I find myself saying it more and more.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'd much rather you say, oh, wow, than like or uh-huh, because that goes around quite often too. And you have to kind of give your kids a little bit of an oomph going, how many more times are you going to say like in a sentence? Or you can't say uh-huh. Right.
I do not say like a lot. And the reason why is my seventh grade science teacher, anytime we did a presentation in front of the class, she would mark down every time you said like, and then she would deduct from your score.
She just said it twice. So. Let's keep tabs.
It doesn't count if you've been drinking.
Okay. Like right now.
That's right.
That's great. That's good.
But that's awesome. So what are some of the plans? Because the Brewers last year got to get up on stage with you at Vintage Estates and do science experiments, which I thought was so much fun. And I wanted to apply that at a larger scale when people were all able to come in person again.
I think that's kind of why I'm in the spot I'm in now, right? If everything would have been like a dud, then I never would have gotten asked to do this again. So I know the expectations are there, and I always set them a little higher. So I can't divulge some of the activities. I will say that Steve Vesey from WFMJ, who is going to be a wonderful partner with me. We're going to come up with some wonderful things to do with the Brewers. It's going to be more a competition-based, event this year. So you're going to be competing against your fellow brewer to complete a science-based challenge. Now, what those challenges may be could range from, I don't know, go back to your high school days when you had to shotgun a beer. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to shotgun a beer. No, but
dissect this.
After you've had three shots, right? Now we'll make it pretty interesting. And I think always with OWOW, the educational process is working there too. So I may have you have to think a little bit while you're having fun. But I think that's part of the critical thinking and the challenge in it, right? Can you do these tasks after being inebriated or, you know, having a few beers or even while there's pressure, you know, with your local brewers. And I think it'll be a friendly competition and there is a prize at the end.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
I'm always I always like to give a good attaboy,
yeah,
you know, so it's going to be the attaboy prize this year.
That'd be great. And you're going to do this, what, four times throughout the evening, five?
I believe we'll make an attempt at four. If we can squeeze the fifth in, absolutely. The fifth one, after 2.5 hours of drinking and partying at OWOW. I had
that
to keep
that. Should be the best one.
Yeah, well, I had to keep that one at a very safe exercise or demonstration. So that one will have nothing to do with elephant toothpaste, hydrogen peroxide, or calcium carbide.
Suck on this helium balloon.
Yeah. How fast can you speak? Yeah. No, it'll be fun.
This year we're including local chefs. And which I know Birdfish, you guys love Sean Sweeney. So Sean Sweeney with the Movable Feast is going to be there. And he is planning on making, if he changes it up, it's okay. But he said, and I don't, some fancy cheesy poof thing. And then a lobster tartine and poke bowl. Like, how delicious is that? And then you have Michael Alberini, that is who you're partnered with. That's making barbecue, which is going to be amazing. And then, of course, Mark Canzanetta. Everybody knows
who?
How good.
I'm just kidding.
Everybody knows how good his Mexican cuisine is. He's going to bring that with us. And then we have Jack Kravitz still that is going to make delicious, delicious desserts. And if you ever go to his site to see, because Kravitz, I don't know if a lot of people know this out there, is also offers catering. And if you go to his site and see all of his catering options, you see how delicious the variety of food that he has looks. So yeah.
I think
we have a lot.
It's a good area. We have a lot of wonderful chefs, a lot of wonderful artists that walk through here, musicians, sports figures.
Drinking and eating is very good.
Oh, absolutely.
To be paired with, especially if you're about to go on stage and perform some experiments.
Oh, believe me, I don't need a drink to go on stage. So it helps, but I don't need any drink. And I think I'm going to stay sober for this one just so I can enjoy what you guys are going to be involved with.
Yeah.
and you could remember it always.
Absolutely. Plus, it's going to go low. Like, we're going to be live, right?
So what we're going to do is we're going to record it, so it'll be preserved forever. Just to like
great.
and we will then blast it out to the various outlets that we have available to us. We actually, surprisingly, and I'm actually happy about this, we did not sell really many virtual. A lot of it has been that people are wanting to come to the location and mingle, because it's been very difficult, I think, even more socially with everyone missing that piece in 2020. And I think that everybody is desiring to get back to start talking and meeting people again.
I don't disagree. And I think it'll be a neat evening just because of, like you said, the small hiccup that we had. And I think for this year in particular, I think you kind of start to think back to, you know, how grateful we are to, mm-hmm. you know, to have people, you know, locally that can do things and be who they are in this area. And going back to, I go really far back with Mark and Michael Alberini, and Sweeney's a wonderful
yes,
person. And
you have some stories, don't you?
Yeah. Back in my days of bartending at Alberini's restaurant out in Niles there, they were great. And it's funny because, you know, knowing them and how they were then, they really haven't changed. They were always trendsetters, blazing the path, idea filters. I mean, they would sit and converse about doing exactly what they're doing now. So to be able to be a part of that in a very minuscule, you know, I was just a bartender, I would serve the drinks to them, but to sit and listen to their conversation, and very, very educated and smart individuals.
They are.
I would have asked for anything more than to just be able to just be a fly on the wall, because they had some really cool things. Those are the good stories. Now, maybe the stories in the dirt may come up, you know, towards the end of the evening on Science of Brew.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Unless I'm served like some of those good ribs or that cheesy poof special, you know, on the side. I don't know. I don't know if I can keep my mouth shut.
So I had to ask, how did you end up where you are today?
You know what? I always reference the fact that I've surrounded myself with some really awesome people. I was a child counselor for 14 years, so I've always been around kids. I haven't lost the ability to be a child, as my wife would say. Sometimes it's counterproductive, but I will say that being around children has given me the ability to sort of listen better. They'll talk to you and they'll speak their emotions. But as a counselor, I was around special needs students, and I always wanted to give them more. And I was an only child, so whatever opportunities I had and I squandered, I felt like, you know what, I'm not going to allow any child that I meet to squander an opportunity, or I'm going to give them 150% of my time and my effort. So I just happened to land at Oh Wow in a transition period. They're going from the hospital, and, you know, good friends of mine said, hey, listen, we need some help at Oh Wow. I was actually one of their first full-time hires. They had 4 full-time people working there, and I was one of the first full-time hires that they had. It's funny because I started cleaning the floors. I was scrubbing the floors, mopping, cleaning all the exhibits at 7:30 in the morning. And then when we opened, then I would have my foot in the facilities department or the education department. So I just had some really wonderful people that didn't forget about me. And I just ran with the opportunity. And I think in my interview with Suzanne, I literally said to her, I said, I want to be part of this place and tell people, you know, what a wonderful spot they have right here in downtown Youngstown, and I don't want them to leave. And then came the idea of, like, if we could put on the internet, you know, some screaming children, you know, if they're crying when they leave, we've done their job. We've done our job, right? So I've been a gypsy. I've had some really wonderful jobs, some communication, working as a bartender or in the food service. It's a great way to show you how the public can be, and yes. having thick skin, mm-hmm. and the customer is always right.
Yes.
Even if it's what you don't think is correct, but it gives you the ability to understand, you know, everybody has a door and a way to them. It's like a child, right? You know, so how do I entertain them? How do I get you on my side? How do I get you to want to come to the happiest place in Youngstown? I think it's all meshed, and just happened to just kind of plant my feet in a good spot. I got kind of lucky, I guess.
there, I mean, and oh wow, got lucky too by getting you. So, I mean, I feel like that definitely is a win-win for all. And I think the area, the valley has gotten lucky as well, because of that, we're all exposed to you as well. And your energy and everything that you do provide to all of us, it's significant.
Well, I think hopefully if I can rub off you on a good way, or, you know, I'm always focused on what I can do for the students, you know, in the schools and in the community and the valley. I mean, my dad worked at GM. My grandfather was U.S. Steel. There's some serious ties to this area. I love the valley. I love this area. And I want to do everything I can as part of Oh Wow to help feed and continue to feed the children of the community. So,
and it just keeps growing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's kind of scary sometimes. It's like a fungus, right? Yeah, right? A good fungus, though. Right. It's a fungus among us. Yeah. No,
but you guys have grown too.
Yeah.
I mean, your space, I know it was definitely sad, especially for you to part with the up top. But then you guys are at the down low, and that space, which, talk about a great space to pick for your second location, because it's giving you guys such an ability to keep growing as you guys are growing.
Yes. We are growing.
Like, you're like, actually, we're growing
every step of it. Yeah. My back, my everything else. Yeah, so we've been grateful to, you know, we had the two locations at the time with the original spot brewing on a one-barrel system, 31 gallons at a time, and that quickly, we obviously couldn't keep up with that. That was more so just retail over-the-counter service where people would come in and, you know, five beers on tap, and you were drinking what was brewed right there in the tasting room.
It was definitely a cool place to hang. It really was.
Yeah, I miss it. We did just... We had the opportunities to be creative and try so many different recipes, and, you know, brewing on a one barrel system, you can do that. So, and then as, you know, we started creating our brand and who we are and what we're about, you know, things kind of took off, and that's when we expanded to the down low, or our only location now on 140 East Park Avenue right there. But, so brewing, you know, seven times of what we were brewing before, we had the ability to start distributing out to bars and restaurants and places like that. And, we kind of, you know, Tulip to Sip is kind of one of our flagship beers that, you know, and for me, kind of getting into this craft for, you know, I enjoy cooking, and that was kind of that, you know, kind of put ourselves into a position to where, you know, we have to brew a lot of Two Hip because, you know, that's what the consumer wants. So we brew it, but
they're always right.
They are always right. So, you know, we are able to, you know, that's why we kind of chose a 7-barrel to continue being creative. So we are able to do, you know, different one-offs and, you know, once a year beers and stuff like that, where we're not totally locked into, hey, these are our, you know, 10 beers that we brew and this is all we do.
Yes.
So we, you know, really strive ever from the beginning was to, you know, give back and be able to help with any kind of community project or any kind of, you know, nonprofit or anything that we can do to help give back to the community. If we're able to, why wouldn't we? So, you know, those are the folks, especially we've seen it through COVID, you know, our doors were shut down. All we were doing was curbside pickup. So, you know,
The brew through. So, I love that.
Which I'm sure business didn't stop, right? Yeah. Everybody drank over.
We expanded. So, you know, we had like, three lines and a guy out there with a flag, you know, like bringing in cars and people lined up on the street to get in.
There's where you could have helped give shots out. Get your COVID shots.
There you go. You're right.
Get your shot and get a 4-pack.
I'm sure people wouldn't have turned that down.
What is it? That's what they did in Jersey.
Yeah, I think so.
The governor in New Jersey was like, if you go and get your COVID shot, you can get like 2 free beers at like a brewer on me.
Yeah. Like, you're shooting for the 18.4% one too. You're like, give me that one.
I did the numbers. DeWine, actually, what he did was actually cheaper than what the governor did.
Right.
So I was like, how much would that actually equal? So of course I looked up the population, blah, blah, blah. Cause you know.
Cause you're a nerd. Yeah. Which is good.
I mean, that's, you gotta know these numbers. Like, which one's actually a better option?
Right. But yeah, like, you know, continued growth, like you said. So, you know, we expanded the indoor seating.
Yep.
Since that was kind of in the works anyways, but you know, with kind of the social distancing, that helped out a lot. Yeah, especially through the winter, was being able to space people out and kind of do that, and then having the ability to kind of extend our patio onto the side of the building, which that's going to be permanent. So we're stay tuned to that, because there's going to be some stuff going on out there with a permanent patio space now
in the winter time too. You
make
guys will be able to
really nice. Not yet, but that might come down the road.
I have a feeling that if we're locked or percentages are going to be enforced again in places, I have a feeling people will be like, I don't care how cold it is, we will stand outside your place as long as we're able to enjoy people again. I can't imagine
going through all that.
I can't. That's a lot.
So, you know, some of the most recent projects we've been working on is with the park. So we started brewing the park IPA, which $1 that every pint and 4-pack bought always goes back into the separate fund.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I like park.
So that's been kind of an ongoing
I've been contributing
a year and a half. So actually yesterday we just got the Sweet Enjoy Disc Golf. So we just put a 9-hole disc golf course into Firestone Park.
That's awesome.
That was kind of the goal initially, but now it's kind of just evolved into this community, like the park being the park. So now, you know, it's kind of transitioning over into helping out because they're putting a dog park in now.
Oh, that's great.
So we've done a couple fundraisers, and so now that's kind of transitioning. Now that we've got the kind of the ball rolling on the disc golf, now we're kind of looking at different projects. So
dogs are going to be all like interjecting and grabbing like the disc before they actually make it in.
Yeah, right.
It'll be like Paperboy. Frisbee disc.
I remember the game, the video game, Paperboy, right?
Yes.
Or you date yourselves.
Yeah. I love that. I didn't say Atari, so at least I didn't date myself that much.
ColecoVision and Intellivision, right? Okay.
All right.
I used to play with a stick and a rock.
Yeah.
That's how old I am.
Did you have a pet rock, though?
I did. Named Steve.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I guess I can probably disclose that I still have Steve. Steve has traveled with me forever.
Believe it or not, that shows what a good caregiver you are and how responsible you are that you've kept Steve this long.
Yeah, Steve is with all of my Steeler stuff. I figured that.
Is Steve painted yellow and black?
Steve has been known to paint his self black and gold. Yes.
Oh, black and gold, black not yellow. Gold. Yeah. Not yellow.
Oh, but yellow is a nice color.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's bright. I like yellow.
It's like the house of shine.
That's right.
Yes.
I love it, which is amazing because when I met with the woman who worked on House of Shine at the museum, they mentioned how they wanted to expand. And this is their first location is here from their original location in Texas. So this is their first location that they've expanded to in a museum. And they're hoping to do more and more. Everywhere I go now, I was in Vermont. I saw a Children's Museum and I thought, wow, House of Shine would be great here, because that is something that you too also want to spread their message and their word that they have out there.
So here's the next big idea. Here's what I'm thinking. So if they invented House of Shine and everything is yellow, I want to invent the House of Periwinkle. That's my favorite color. And I just want to go around selling periwinkle, and you just bring a bunch of periwinkle things in. Right? It also is Tinkerbell's sister's name. I mean, there's some really good history.
I didn't know Tinkerbell had a sister.
See? But how cool is that? I think we have something here. You could make the house of whatever, but I think the house of periwinkle, I think that would be kind of cool.
We can put this in our adult brew theme park. That's what we'll do. We'll mesh all the ideas together.
I think we would have some really eccentric and cool periwinkle things that would be brought in.
I think that'd be great. And then we could have a chartreuse location.
See? See, it's, the ideas just keep coming, right? Yeah. Or type O right? Location.
Yeah. Oh, yes, which, definitely.
Yeah, by the way, obviously, what if you're, you know, it's so type O has to do with a reference of blood, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So did you ever think of, like, darkening it?
Well, that color.
For Halloween.
So that color just, yeah, that color comes from
the raspberries.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't really.
They don't put food dye into their
dyes in their beers. But.
It's like the when you have like no red dye, that's what they put on their label, no red dye, no dyes.
Dye free.
Doesn't mean we can't do that.
Yeah, or add a little more oxygen to it, you know, because it is blue, right? When it's in our body.
Oh, that's right.
Problem is oxygen oxidizes the beer, and then
what would happen?
No bueno.
Yeah,
no good.
So but it would be fun to just can
oxygen's good up front to help generate the yeast and get it kicked off.
Right.
Start eating the sugars, but after that,
yeah, then it's really bad.
Want oxygen.
Bad.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna tell everyone out there that as nerdy as I can be, science has never been my strong suit ever.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I don't think if you, everything that you do in your life has something to do with science,
right.
Breathing, walking, talking, everything. So I can't necessarily agree with you. I think you just probably haven't focused on it as much as everybody, but I think everybody has a little bit of science in them. It's like being an artist, right? When somebody says, well, I can't draw.
Right.
Well, you write your name, correct? That's art.
Right.
Oh.
So you do draw. And I think you do, and you're doing science right now. You know, and you know, when you're researching numbers and doing analytics, there's science in that.
That's
know.
True.
So I have to disagree with you on this one, Lisa. And I'm sure there's some science that goes into the diet.
I appreciate that. Next time I walk in and be like, listen, I got this.
Right. Yeah.
Mr. Ralph says I am good at science.
Yeah. I don't know how much that Mr. Ralph will go and how far that I go. I do know because you're a runner and you're an athlete. I mean, there's a lot of science in what you put into your body, right? So I'm sure you're monitoring your caloric intake and you're making a very.
Yeah. I do not. I am very like nonchalant.
For all those runners out there, just plug your ears. Plug your ears.
I will say that, do you know that the Beachbody thing?
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend, she, and I love her. She wrote me in to doing, she's a Beachbody coach or was, this is a decade ago, wrote me into like doing the Beachbody diet. So they have that shake thing, Shakeology. And then they have these little containers that you're supposed to fill with food. And that's all you're allowed to eat is the container size of food. And you're limited on what types of food that you eat. Like you can't have bread.
Right.
Because bread's a huge no-no. I disagree with that firmly. And then, but you could have quinoa. I never forget. I went out.
Totally opposite of bread.
I know.
It's really not even the same. Looks different.
Exactly. So I went out for a 4-mile run. After like mile two, I felt like my stomach was eating itself. And I got home, then found out my dog ate my quinoa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like, there was definitely hanger involved. I called up my friend. I was like, this is by no means okay to put people on this diet. Like, that is not okay.
Especially if you have like an Italian background when there's bread at every meal.
I mean, come on, exactly. I'm not even Italian and I have bread at every meal, but I do watch, like I watch like when I have my carbs. So you are correct. Like scientifically, mm-hmm. like, you know, the earlier you have it, the more your body will process it. But I don't restrict myself from anything. Clearly. But I monitor like the amount of intake, but I don't restrict myself from anything.
So you do science, and I we are a radio. Sorry, I said doo doo on the radio. You do science.
I guess I do. But
there you go. Sorry, I apologize. Can you bleep that part out?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to take that hit. I'm going to Children's Museum, and I'm dropping the word doo doo on the line. On the line.
I don't know if that's a bad word anymore.
Well, to some it might be.
I don't know. I watch TV now and I'm like, this stuff shouldn't be allowed. Oh, yeah. Like, when did NBC, ABC, and all them start showing shows like this? Well, it's 7 o'clock or it's 8 o'clock. This isn't past 10.
Yeah. Well, I was raised, my dad used to always have Benny Hill on. And Benny Hill, if it was played on TV now, it probably made raise some eyebrows because it was not a show for littles. But I quite happened to you know, wait for my father to come home and just eat some tacos and watch Benny Hill. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So on that note, to everyone out there, we have probably like we are at 270 tickets sold so far.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Oh, it went up.
I think I got the word from Suzanne that we may be maxed out, that they may have to open it up for more ticket sales.
So yeah.
Don't quote. I mean, may possibly.
So we may, and we have already looked into the building capacity before the fire marshal will come in. So we are not surpassing that number. And space has expanded. There's plenty of space for people to move around and linger. Plus we are going to be on the outdoors as well. So, and outdoors is where you'll be able to eat Sean Sweeney's delectable treats, as well as drink Penguin City and Biker Brew House and Paladin are going to be on the outside. On the inside, you have Birdfish and Noble Creature partnered with Michael Alberini. And then you have Modern Methods and Numbers that are partnered with Mark Canzonetta. And then we also have, for those that might not like beer, we also have Sundog that has amazing ciders. And then we also have Woodland Cellars with wine that are going to be with Jack Kravitz. Oh, and then we also have Select Beverage will also be there with some wine as well. So,
and there's hidden spots at OWOW that I know. Like, if we have to utilize office space to make sure we don't max out the capacity, then we'll just move to the second floor.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, back at fraternity days, you just didn't all hunker down on the first level of the fraternity house. You went to levels 3 and 4.
Yes.
And sometimes found out there was a hidden spot in the building, right? Well, I know all those hidden spots in the building.
there we go.
Yeah. We'll take the service elevator to where?
Ellie Platt will be like, wait a second. Ralph is supposed to be on stage right now, and we'll all be trying to find him throughout the building.
It'll be where's Wall? Wait, yeah. I'll wear a little outfit.
Well, so it's August 6th. It starts 6 to 9. There is the VIP for our sponsors that starts at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a happening weekend downtown because the Italian Fest is also that day, and which they have been phenomenal to let those attendees to OWOW then go to the Italian Fest afterwards. So those who want to keep on going, they have the ability to.
Yeah.
And which I'm sure there's a lot of fun that's going to be happening there as well.
Oh my goodness. Where else can you go in the next month, enjoy wonderful beer, climb a rock wall, play in water, and eat some brashul. I mean, all in one setting.
I know.
I will say this is one of my favorite beer events that we...
Only one of them?
We get to partake
in. What's the favorite?
No. This is probably the favorite.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Just like Birdfish is my favorite brewery.
No, okay. You know, we get asked to do so many different events and beer fests.
Yes, you do.
And it's like... So it just gets to be too much, especially when you have a family and you know, you coach softball and everything else that's involved with it. So this is one that really strive to be able to participate and be out at myself. So
100% agree. 100% agree.
And it's for a great amenity that we have that we need to keep on supporting and keep on helping it grow and help you guys reach your goals.
Well, and I think the night will allow itself to be that. I mean, the people that we have that'll be visiting, and again, who knows? We may get some stragglers in from the Italian Fest aren't even part, which I think is fun as well. And I wouldn't discourage that, although I may be careful with what I'm saying. I think ultimately, I've always said, if you step into OWOW, your family, and I think people are going to be a little bit curious as to what's going on, right?
Yes.
Why not allow them to pop in? I mean, hey, as long as you bring some Bajul and some, you know, some wonderful pastries from the Italian fest, I'll let anybody in.
That's right. And those who, I don't know if anybody has been there recently or not, for those that attend, they have this whole merchandise section right now that will still be open for purchase for that evening as well.
Ah.
Which could be fun. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, wow, I got to be careful here. Okay, it is. It's going to be more than fun. It's going to be wildtastic.
It will be wildtastic. I think, and we'll have some edutainment at the same time.
Look at that. Can we get somebody that could just come in and just for the person who wins, just tattoo wildtastic down their arm? Like that could be the winning, you know, just get a wildtastic tattoo.
Yeah, I'm sure one of us know a tattoo artist.
Probably make that happen.
That'd be awesome.
No pressure to the winner at all.
I beat people not wanting to.
I know. That could be fun, though.
Oh, boy. See, it's already started. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much. Cheers.
Yep. Cheers.
Yeah. Hey.
You guys, nope, we got to pour a little bit more.
Oh.
So should we do a different one? Or
twist our arms.
Yeah. Let's grab that one.
Yabba Dabba Brew?
Yeah.
So you can tell us a little bit about Yabba Dabba Brew before we toast. You can't toast with nothing in your drink. That's bad luck.
And then we have to have a toast to go along with the drink.
Because that's also bad luck.
It is absolutely bad luck.
Yabba Dabba Brew is a session IPA that we kind of did in collaboration with Rust Belt Revival, the biking group.
Yes.
So guys that go around and do the mountain biking and street biking. So that kind of, they do a big, huge ride every year from brewery to brewery. So they,
is there just two of them or is there more?
Oh no, there's like 100 of these guys.
Okay. Cause I saw two of them photoed with Modern Methods.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were just going to chug it out of the can.
Do the shotgun.
But,
he has no fair advantage.
Thank you.
So it's a collaboration kind of with those guys. We brewed it on the one barrel system before. But yeah, Rust Belt Revival Trail Coalition. So these guys work hard within the valley to go out and like, I think they do a lot up around, and I might be wrong because I'm not a biker, but up around like Lake Milton, I think they got a lot of trails and stuff that they, you know, this group goes up and clears and kind of does all that within that
Lake Milton is group. Actually, so, a really good place to go mountain biking.
Yeah, so that's kind of what this is. So a session IPA, so lighter, 4.2%, kind of a all day drinker. Yeah,
see?
not your. Yeah, you can have that one.
That definitely falls along with my 5% rule. Yeah. The lower, the better.
Less is more.
Yeah. There you see. And when it is less, you can have more.
That's right.
So there you go. Well, cheers now. Thank you.
Well, here we go.
Cheers.
You ready for the cheer?
Yep.
All right. I do not stand below you. I do not stand above you. I stand right beside you because you are my friend. Here is two friends.
Aw.
Two friends.
Cheers. I love that.
There you
cheers.
Go.
Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at PlattInsurance.com.